The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I got lazy. I didn't look. I clicked on view photos. And of course, you know, the Joker pops up, you've been busted. My fault, total.
She thinks I'm a nice guy. Women always think I'm nice, but women don't want nice. Why is nice bad? What kind of a sick society are we living in when nice is bad?
IT department, stop being nice. You're the cop of the station, right? I don't need a nice, warm, fuzzy email.
What's that smell? What are you wearing?
I'm a little cologne.
Manly.
Monica wants me to wear it.
So why don't you say no?
I'm too nice. She wants me to take an IQ test.
It's because you're stupid enough to wear the cologne.
It's like I got pulled over by a cop for doing 10 over, and the cop is super, super nice, and he writes me a ticket for $250. Be the JAG. You're a JAG. You're a JAG department. What you do is a little nefarious. I'm a little sick of it.
Yeah, and he's going to find out I'm a moron. You know, people think I'm smart, but I'm not smart.
Who thinks you're smart?
I'm not going to break 100 on this thing.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it. She running her mouth.
You all are very lucky.
Wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it.
That I am here today. She's too excited. Still with us. I could have died yesterday. Could have died. And I still
driving
could.
Driving related?
LOL, LOL. No. No. I swallowed a plum pit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
On purpose?
On purpose. That's some kinky stuff you're talking about. No, not on purpose. I didn't swallow a plum pit on purpose. When I posted this yesterday on Twitter, I had one person that said, "Who eats plums? Are people not eating plums? Is the plum like a antiquated or an old fashioned fruit? Am I the only one out there keeping the plum industry afloat?"
I've never had a plum.
Never had a plum?
Never had a plum.
Joshy, have you enjoyed plums?
I can't say I've willingly had a plum.
Like willingly.
Life. Yeah. Or known I was having a plum at the moment.
And let me tell you why I never had a plum. Because as a youngster, I remember if you couldn't poop, your mother would give you
prunes.
Prune juice. Is that the same thing as a plum? So I've been scarred.
I don't
prunes are different than plums?
I'm pretty sure. Now, again,
I would believe the two different names would indicate such.
Zing.
They're both purple.
They are. So should we just go to the old Google machine? Are plums and prunes the same thing? Well, a lot of people wonder that. It's right there in the old. No, plums and prunes are not the same thing, but plums are the fruit that prunes are made from. So it's like raisins and grapes.
Yes.
So raisins and grapes are not the same thing. So plums and prunes are not the same thing. Plums are smaller than peaches. I feel like plums hold up better. Peaches, you know, you have to be delicate with peaches.
Sort of
like
bruised.
Like bananas, right? Like those are also like, oh, my precious. You throw a banana in your bag. An hour later, you're not looking so good. So I like a plum because it's a little more hearty, and it holds up better in my Mary Poppins bag, if I'm being honest. So I grabbed some plums at Costco, and I've been having one with my breakfast every morning. And yesterday, I was chewing the flesh of the plum, and I found the pit, and I threw it in the side of my mouth. I threw it in my cheek chew, and I thought, well, that'll do it. That'll keep it separated. And I swallowed, and the pit went down with everything else.
Walk me through how you eat your plum, because it feels like the same way you would eat
a peach,
an apple, where you keep the core. and you work around it. You nibble on the edges.
See, you would think, right? Right. And I got this here as a visual aid.
That's not big enough for you to just toss into your mouth.
Right, no, you can't just take the whole thing down. No. Although some might, and congratulations. No, you bite around it, but it's tiny. Like, the pit of a plum, guys, is about the size of a nickel. I'm holding a nickel up on the YouTube stream, if you're streaming, following us this morning on YouTube. So this is about the size of a plum pit. It's not a peach pit, which is larger and is where all the 90210 kids hung out. That can go down. That can get lost in there. And that's what happened. It got lost in there. And then I swallowed and I felt it. I felt it go down my esophagus chew. I could feel the edge of the plum pit sort of scratching its way down.
All right. Follow up. Has it passed?
Now,
like a penny?
That's
now, I did eat a penny just because I wanted to dispel the myths of the penny, and it's true. Your stomach does not break it down.
Can't imagine.
Is a plum pit the same?
Well, it's not an alloy, so I don't know, honestly.
Okay, so we're not there yet. Okay.
So excellent question. I wish I could give you a definitive answer one way or another. I assume you believe I will know when I pass the plum pit. Yes?
I would think. I used to chew on peach pits because I love peaches, but it's so hard to get a good one.
Uh-huh.
Because a peach pit, is it about a day where you can eat them where they're fantastic?
A peach?
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Because then they get too soft or they're too hard.
Okay, so see, this is what I was saying. They're very finicky fruits, like an avocado, right? I always want to have avocado in my house. I know you don't love the consistency, but the trick with the avocado is getting it on the right day. You crack that sucker open a couple days too early, ugh. You crack that sucker open a couple days late, ugh. There's like a very fine window of when you can enjoy an avocado, and they're mystery. They're a mystery. You can't tell from the outside. You can sort of give it a squeeze, and if it's a little soft, you go, oh, I think we're getting there. And then by the time I open it, it's usually like, nope, sorry, you missed it.
I'm still all hung right, up. Why did you cheek the pit? It feels like something you spit out.
Well, I know you guys think that I am just, you know, want to spit wherever because I have.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I watched you do it last week.
amongst otherly functions of the body, yes.
But in this case, I thought I could handle it. I thought I could cheek it without incident. And I was wrong.
Were you trying to keep your hands from getting sticky?
Yeah, probably. And I figured I'd spit it into the garbage can or something like that, as opposed to, ooh, delicately taking it out and then holding it. It's not like an apple in that you can chew around it.
Right.
It's too small.
You would have to hold it.
Yes, exactly. And you'd be like, again, here's the nickel
your
as
fingers.
The visual aid. Yeah. It'd be like this.
Okay. All right. While we're on this, let's talk about some myths.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because I just told you the penny myth is true. That one is true. And I'll go through them here. A brown paper bag. Have you guys heard that? You put fruit, you put tomatoes in a brown paper bag and it's supposed to ripen it quicker. Is that true? Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
I do not know. I'll start Googling, I guess.
I've done it.
Okay, there's one. How about gum? Does gum stay in your system for seven years? Because that's what I heard as a kid. If you swallow your gum, it's going to be in your intestines for 7 years.
I feel like, and I don't know this to be true, but I feel like as a parent, that's something you might say to keep tiny children from enjoying gum, right? Because you know they can't keep it in their mouth. Their instinct is to swallow it. So you might say to a child, I think, oh, can't have gum. Because if you swallow it, it'll stay in your stomach for 7 years. Like, that feels like something you might say to them. What did you find out, Mythbuster?
I'm still working on the ripening brown paper bag, but the gum one, I know. It just passes through your system the same way it went in. Much like a plum pit will.
Well, hopefully.
Also, okay, I've done some work.
Joshy, apple seeds. If you swallow apple seeds, could they germinate in your stomach? Because I heard they could.
No, they cannot.
The stomach acid would just...
There's an interesting thing here. So pits in most of them, and I don't know how seeds work for like a watermelon or apple, but the pit of a fruit is made to be passed through once it's eaten. It has that hard shell because once you eat it and then pass it through, it will deposit and allow it to grow. It was an evolutionary function of those fruits.
Really?
Yes.
I think they just assumed that deer were doing the...
yes.
You know, not...
Bears.
Not supposedly evolved humans.
No.
Who accidentally swallowed it.
But it is a desired result.
That's really good to know. I love those evolutionary, like, tricks and treats. I didn't know that. So that makes me feel a little bit better. I could occasionally yesterday feel the plum pit going through my intestines. I was like, oh, owie, that's a little, yep, that's the old, should we name the plum pit? Has it been with me long enough where I should be naming the plum pit? Or is plum pit sufficient? Also, is it a seed? That was the other thing somebody told me. It's not a pit, it's a seed. I was like, tomato, tomato.
We call it a pit because it's in the middle and it has that hard outer shell. It is just a seed, but the seed like is inside of that. I did find out here the brown paper bag does actually work. It traps the gases in there. It seems like pretty much any bag you leave it in or thing you leave it in will work. But yes, that is a real way to help ripen fruit.
All right, folks are weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line this morning. Clint in the 312 says plums are a top five fruit. Banana, well, you lost me. Banana, he has on the list. He has banana, mango, watermelon, cantaloupe, and plum in any order. And those feel a little like peripheral fruits. Mango, delicious. I don't know if it's
yes.
top five fruit. Watermelon?
So what's...
Cantaloupe?
Tomato?
Well, now you're just being silly.
Here we go.
Well, tomato is technically a fruit.
Yes, I know. I learned that as well. But again...
I mean, what's one? Apple?
Gotta be.
The apple is the standard
Although
bearer.
Big Apple did do a good job back in the day of getting everyone to eat an apple. What was that little old rhyme? An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Mm-hmm. And my daughter came home from school one day telling me that apple is nature's toothbrush. I was like, sure. She said, no.
It makes sense.
Because it scrubs your teeth.
Yeah. Much like dogs really? When they feed them certain things like that.
Yes.
Yeah. I have looked up here, Jen. You aren't in danger, per se, right now, but if you continue your habit of swallowing pits, there is poison danger there, possible.
Yeah,
but you got to eat like 60 of them,
yes,
right?
It would take a lot, but there is cyanide inside those pits of
really?
Those fruits. So if you were to chew it and swallow it and do a whole bunch of them, you got yourself a pickle.
So I thought that was a wives' tale, to be perfectly honest with you.
Nope.
No, isn't the inside... Joshy, isn't the inside of a peach pit, that is poisonous as well.
Yes, it seems like...
I used to chew on those things forever.
You would chew on them?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, they're fun. I don't know, they're hard. You know, it just sharpens the teeth.
Yeah, you're not...
What?
You're not a caveman. Yeah. You're not needing to go out there and rip flesh with your teeth. Like, also, are you your dentist's favorite client?
I do have a lot of chipped teeth. I mean, I probably have three. But he said it's from chewing ice. I love to chew ice.
Because he didn't know you were just noshing on peach pits.
I know.
If you had told him that little detail, he might have pivoted on his theory.
You're not far from just eating rocks at that point.
He wants me to eat rocks.
Yeah.
A flipping crown costs $1,200 every time you go in. He's like, yeah, rocks are working.
You ever wonder why your picture's on the wall at the dentist's office?
They got a chewy hall added addition all the time.
This is the chewy week.
All right, a little housekeeping from yesterday that you guys might be interested in.
Yep.
The IT guy emailed me. He must listen to the show. You know what I did? You know what I did?
Deleted the email?
I deleted it. Yeah. I didn't even read it. It's like a cop gives me a ticket for $250 and then he wants me to buy him a beer at the bar when I see him out.
Again, you clicked on the phishing email. His job is literally to correct the behavior. Again, because it compromises the company's security. So, again,
so
I think
I did the right thing in deleting it.
I don't think that the IT guy is a bad guy, right? Like,
no,
I don't, but can you trust him? I don't think you can trust him. No, you can't trust him. I'm sorry. I'm not getting trapped again. I'm done. When I said I'm not answering emails, I am not answering emails. I'm done.
So I don't want to use this person's name here, so bear with me. Was it something from the IT department, or was it a name, like a personal email, someone's name from IT?
It was one of the nice guys that sent me the busted thing. So it was at a specific... There were two of them, and it was one of them.
And you weren't curious at all what that email might have said. Like, hey,
no,
could
not
you not
all.
Call me a jag?
Wait, did you did you get a copy of the email?
No.
Oh, okay.
You want me to send it to you?
I would
you
love it.
You said you deleted it.
Yeah, but you got to delete the delete.
Yeah, it's still in the trash bin.
Oh, okay. All right. Good to know.
You want me to forward it to you?
Sure. Yes, please. I want that email.
I got some suggestions for the name of the plum pit. Josh in Lake Geneva says Brad Pitt. We should name the pit Brad Pitt. And Josh also suggests Richard Pitty. Like Richard Petty.
Well, I think at some point in the day you're gonna be able to call it Stinky.
Stinky Pit. We have to talk to Jason Wilde. He's going to get us all caught up in everything going on with the green and gold as we head into that big game against the Texans this weekend. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Since I know you're all very invested, very concerned, I just wanted to let you know I was able to successfully navigate the plum this morning. Just finished it during the break. Thank you. And there is the plum seed, and it is not in my belly. So kudos to me. Good morning, Jason. Welcome
get
to the Clown Show.
Get in my belly.
Get in my belly. No, don't get in my belly. I swallowed a plum seed yesterday, and it was an adventure, let me tell you. But I wanted to let everybody know that this is not a chronic problem for me. I was able to navigate the plum seed this morning like a big girl. So there you go.
Why don't you just switch to, like, nectarines or something?
Wait, do nectarines not have seeds? Do they not have pits?
Well, the pit is much larger,
yes.
And only a complete idiot would swallow that.
Well, Chewy chews on peach pits on
peach.
Purpose.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of complete idiots.
Fair.
Jason, should there be any concern about some of the wide receivers being questionable as for their availability to play this weekend against the Texans?
I don't think so. I mean... You know, I think Jaden Reed, obviously he hurt his ankle on that punt return that he fumbled, and then he ended up coming back into the game. In the words of the immortal American orator, Mike McCarthy, we're just being smart with him. So I don't think – now, obviously the shoulder injury that Dontavian Wicks suffered prevented him from returning to the game, so we'll have to see – what that looks like. And he said he had an AC joint injury in college, and this isn't nearly as bad as that. And the fact that, quite frankly, he was practicing on a limited basis yesterday, I found extremely encouraging. He told us after the game that he didn't think he'd miss time. And of course, players always say that, but the fact that he was actually out there, I thought that was a really good sign. So, you know, maybe there's a chance they're extra cautious with him, but I think they should probably have all those guys raring to go on Sunday.
Jason, did you agree with the decision to get rid of Narveson?
Well, I'm still holding out for Anders Carlson coming back, and that's going to be a little bit harder now that he signed with the... No, I'm like, I love to go for the laugh, but I actually kind of mean that. Like, my thing, and I think I said this to you guys at the time, is if you're going to invest the sixth-round draft pick in him, you got to ride with him longer than, in my opinion, one season. I mean, I don't believe you should draft specialists. Now, again, I'm not a National Football League GM, so you can take what I say with a grain of salt. But there are so many examples, including Brandon McManus, who you just brought in. You know, Brandon McManus kicked for 9 years for the Denver Broncos, 1 year for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Do you know who he played for before that? Of course not, because he never kicked for them. He came into the league with the Indianapolis Colts, didn't make it, goes to camp in 14 with the Giants, and gets traded to the Broncos, gets replaced during that 14 season. Later on, he gets replaced again. Like, it takes time for most guys to figure out. Most guys are not Ryan Longwell, right, who was a rookie for you guys in 97. More guys are like Brett Conway, although Brett Conway's confidence was shattered by the time he bounced around a little bit in the league. My point is that I don't think you should pick those guys. I think you should let them figure it out for other teams and then be the team that they join and they get their act together. But if you are going to draft them, Braden Narveson was in no way an upgrade over Anders Carlson. Like, they didn't even attempt a 50-yarder with him. So I got nothing against the Narv dog, as Tausch calls him. But the bottom line is, you didn't upgrade. And now you're hoping that a guy that wouldn't have even been available to you if not for some reportedly, allegedly questionable behavior on a team flight is going to solve the problem. And we're all going to wait and see if that's actually true.
Jason Wilde hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So Joshie was talking about this morning in the production meeting. He's concerned, Jason, about Matt LaFleur changing his plan of attack. He wants them to stay aggressive as though, hear me out, the kicker is an issue, so we don't feel comfortable trotting him out there on some of these, you know, some of these field goal attempts. We'd rather go for the end zone. Do you think Matt LaFleur will change his plan of attack with the new McManus kicker in there?
Joshy, how many times do you think they didn't kick the field goal and they instead went for it when it was borderline? And if the kicker wasn't mediocre, I don't want to say he stunk, but If the kicker was better, they would have kicked it instead. How many times do you think that's happened in the first six games?
This season, none at all. I would say there was a little bit of that last year, but this season, my concern is I want them to stay with what they've been doing. Is what I want.
Yeah, I don't. I think he's he's talked about this before. I love the fact that they've got this enormous analytics team, and Matt LaFleur says he just goes with his gut, which I kind of like, right? Because that's old school football. It's like Chewy and my era of when I was covering him. I like that. And so, you know, I'll never forget the mic'd up when he said, when LaFleur says all gas, no blank and break. And I don't think that having a veteran kicker is going to change that. So I don't think you have to worry about that. I would say this, it's not like, and I know this guy's struggling this year, but it's not like McManus comes in here and he's Justin Tucker. Like, his accuracy for his career is 81.4%. Anders Carlson last season, at least on field goals, I think the extra points, the fact that the dude missed six extra points was a major factor in them moving on from him. But last year on field goals, he was 80.6%. So it's not like he wasn't good compared to the rest of the league, but his accuracy compared to, say, McManus now was not that far off. And so I don't think that they've suddenly got, you know, the greatest kicker in the league and they're going to stop being aggressive. I think this guy is, in their mind, an upgrade over Narveson, but that is not exactly the highest praise possible.
Well, and I think the distinction that people were making when McManus was signed was that his misses, at least many of them, most of them, have come from 50-plus as opposed to, I don't know, 40-plus.
He's not very good.
Plus.
Yeah, he's not very good from 50 yards, though, right? I mean, what is he?
45 of 82. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I'm not, he is an upgrade. He's experienced. I think Goody made the right decision. I appreciated Goody being honest about the fact that if not for his incident on the team flight to London with the Jaguars, he wouldn't have even been available to them. But the bottom line is that there's a lot of guys making a hell of a lot more 50-yard kicks than that right now. And so it's just, I don't know, man. This is really remarkable how you don't know what you've got till it's gone, as Cinderella once sang, when it comes to a guy like Mason Crosby.
No, I think Bryan Adams as well, maybe. Those two in lockstep.
Come on, you got to do the
no, that's
Cinderella
great.
Version though.
Yeah.
Oh, Cinderella was
don't
the band.
Know what
Sorry.
She got till it's gone.
Sorry, I thought it was like Cinderella, the cartoon character from Disney. Dude. I was like, I'm unfamiliar with that line, but maybe she said it.
Sorry to everyone's speakers in their car. She was
oh,
screaming.
Come on. That was
dial, Josh.
And you. Play that
yeah.
coming back, and you will hear that Chewy and I were right on point.
Yes.
I was more concerned exactly. with the volume.
Josh is like, just give me a heads up. I'll turn you down. So the other thing we were discussing this morning, Jason, was how the, you know, Evan Williams, we talked about him a little bit on Tuesday, and how the draft class feels like they are making strides. And Joshy asked us point blank, is this year's draft class better than last year's? And I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, and Chewy said it's too early to definitively say, obviously, but it sort of feels like these guys are hitting a stride faster than last year's draft class did. Maybe they're being used. Do you think it was Jeff Hafley, just staying on the defensive side of the ball here, who was weighing in on the type of player he wanted, maybe even specific players he wanted that would fit into his scheme, and that's a reason why it feels like those guys are advancing at a faster pace?
You would certainly hope that they had those conversations. I mean, look, I still find this amazing. This isn't draft-related. But, like, when we were introduced to Jeff Hafley, he described his ideal post safety, and then he even admitted that he was kind of describing a player that doesn't exist. And then they signed Xavier McKinney, and he basically checks all the boxes that he went through when he was describing his ideal post safety. So I would assume that they talked about that. You know, the coaches have limited input into the draft process, but what they tend to do, from what I understand, is when they've got some guys that they like, they then have the coaches go through film of those guys and take a look at them. And I don't know how you wouldn't have, you know, watched Evan Williams. Obviously, having watched a fair number of Ducks games last year, I remember him with the Ducks. He's been so impressive. And a buddy of mine that works in Eugene talked to Dan Lanning for me about him, because some of us don't have the close connection to Dan Lanning that others of us do. And he's just been so impressive. And Dan Lanning is not in any way surprised that he's been able to hit the ground running. I would say, I'm assuming Josh was also referring to Edger and Cooper, who, you know, I think they're really excited about, but they have been limiting how much they're giving him opportunities. His snap count jumped last week, but he still makes a bunch of mistakes. Like, he's a guy that's still trying to figure it out, whereas maybe Evan Williams is a little bit higher in terms of having played 4 years at Fresno State, 1 year at Oregon. He's just a little further along in his football IQ development. But both of those guys are impressive. I don't know. If you look at last year's draft class, I think it's tough to look at that and go, oh, well, these guys are even better. But Goody's had some fantastic draft classes 3 years running. And if he can keep up this pace, I don't see how they can have many holes on their roster moving forward.
Jason, two-part question here. I think we can both agree that Detroit's window is wide open. How much is the loss of Aiden Hutchinson going to affect that team? And two, I think they're going to go out and get a very good DN. Now, it might not be Myles Garrett or Max Crosby, but it could be a Montez Sweat, which they did in Chicago. They're not laying down. Would you agree with that?
I would totally. You mean the Lions are going to trade for someone? Yeah, no, there's no.
Yeah, huge. I think they're going to trade for a big name.
Yeah, if I were them, I would do that too. I mean, it sucks that they lose a guy of, like, because Aiden Hutchinson's not only a really good player, but he's kind of one of those type of heart and soul guys, right? And so when you lose him, you probably need to do something. So I would agree on both points on that. You know, I don't know, maybe Rashawn Gary's available.
For what? A case of Gatorade?
Why? Well, I just, you know, and look, it was mean. At least you didn't call him a moron like Jermichael Finley. But look, the thing about it is they've got to get, in all seriousness, I understand they face the mobile quarterbacks and this, that, and the next thing, but they've got to get Rashawn Gary going. And I don't know if you saw, because you crossed over briefly with Mike Wall, right? The former Packers guard. He did this breakdown on him, and I got to say, the fact that Mike, who played in the league for a decade, it's one thing if some Yahoo like me is criticizing you, but like when guys who, I think one of the lines that Wall had was, you're just doing me a favor as an offensive lineman with the way he's approaching his pass rushes early on in the start of the play. No one wants to talk about the fact that the $96 million pass rusher has not been productive. And I get it, because I wouldn't, if I was the $96 million pass rusher, I don't need people publicly bashing me from my own team. But they've got to get him going. And whatever that needs to look like, more stunts and twists, figuring out ways to have other people occupy the chips, whatever it is, they've got to get him going, because that's the one area, at least when I look at this defense, that you have a reason to be concerned. And it's not just him. It's the entire group. But, like, you get that going, and this is one scary defense if you can get your pass rush and your big-time guy going.
But, Jason, why are people surprised? This was the knock on him at Michigan. He's a huge underachiever. I am not surprised one bit. He could fall into the category of a Cletus Hunt or Gabe Wilkins. You pay the guy, and then he doesn't play until his next free agent year.
Yeah, I don't want to say that it's a mystery and I'm like Encyclopedia Brown here trying to figure it out, but I just don't understand it. I don't. And maybe that it's as simple as that, but those are the guys I've never understood. Right? Because at a certain level, you got to go there anyway, right? It's not he's off on an island counting his money. He's still got to go to work every day. He's still got to play on Sundays. Everybody is like, if you have pride. So I do not believe that that is the case with him, but I do think this, and we don't disagree a lot, but Tausch and I, he wanted to put him in that elite category 2 years ago before his knee injury, and he was certainly more productive than he's been this year, but I kept pushing back on him. He hasn't had a double-digit sack season at this point. Like, I know we all want him to be Miles Garrett or T.J. Watt or whoever, but he is nowhere close to that, and his production through six games underscores that.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Good luck with the plums. Take care. Be good.
Thank you very much. He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Your home, your future, your priority, and ours. Your home is more than just a house. It's your future. Great Midwest Bank prioritizes your dream, ensuring your mortgage process is smooth and stress-free. There are a lot of stressors in the home buying process. You've probably heard that. But your mortgage should not be one of them. Apply for your home mortgage loan at Great Midwest Bank, and you'll experience a state of banquility. That's when you can find out how easy the process can be. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com to see what products GMB has for you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas.
They
as
don't
well.
Work. They're called poop. They're really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of brust in you know that?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Don't change the show. Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Joshy, I want to get down to brass tacks on this. The draft class last year that Brian Gutekunst and company put together has been pretty productive. A lot of those players have seen time, seen snaps for the Green Bay Packers over last season and what we have had through this season. And the previous draft class is the one where he drafted all those defensive players. Some of them have been productive. Some of them have overachieved. Some of them have not. But this year's draft class, it feels like, is really contributing. This is a draft class that feels like they are making an immediate impact. Do you genuinely feel like at the end of the day, this draft class could be more productive, could be more successful than the last two? And we're talking about from a defensive side right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the reason I posed the question. The thing that has me interested is what you said, the immediate impact. And the fact that I think there might be a couple of the A players that Chewy always talks about. Now, Jaden Reed is without doubt an A player, and so is Tucker Kraft.
From the 2023
Yes, from last year. But with Evan Williams being the highest graded rookie by PFF and having such an immediate
impact.
In the
league.
Yes. Better than all of them.
Not on Packers. In the league.
And then Javon Bullard, who is just like a starter fully and was from day one. And combine that with Edgerrin Cooper, who I think we're barely even scratching the surface with. Jordan Morgan is, they're very favorable of him. He immediately came back and went back into a rotation with Sean Ryan. There just seems like there could be a lot of guys who are not even like fringe roster helpers that are like, these are cornerstones of the Packers moving forward.
What do you think, Chew?
Pump the brakes. See, I always go to scheduling, you know? They play two good offenses out of six games. That's it, you know, and that makes a difference. Huge, you know. I think we just need to pump the brakes because I look at Jordan Morgan and put him up against Lucas Van Ness. He might be slightly ahead. No, I'm not sold on Jordan Morgan yet because if he was as good as everyone thought, he'd be the full-time starter. And then the other guys you mentioned, who okay, Jaden Reed, I think out of everybody there is probably – the best draft pick. And he was a second or a third?
Second. But you got Tucker Kraft right there as well, and he's coming on right now. I'm not saying that he has eclipsed Jaden Reed. Obviously, that would be silly based on what we have seen so far. But the way he is gaining momentum in this offense, it feels like he could, you know, be one of those A players that Joshie and you are referencing.
Yeah. And Musgrave was a two?
Yeah.
So if you just went head-to-head, you give Jordan Morgan a little bit of a nod. Cooper was a two. I would take Reed over Cooper. Who was the three last year?
Sorry, did I say Kraft? I meant Musgrave.
Yeah.
Right?
Musgrave was 42nd overall. Jaden Reed was 50th. And then Tucker Kraft was third round pick at 78.
But who's the one who's been popping now? It's Kraft, right?
Yes, it's Tucker Kraft.
Thank you. That's what I was thank you. I thought those tight ends, I mean, confused Chewy.
Yeah, like I said, it's early, but I'd give a slight nod to last year's.
And I agree with you. I think Jordan Morgan is going to be a more consistent contributor. That they are very high on him to a degree I don't think they are about Lucas Van Ness. Like, to come back from injury and immediately take, but Sean Ryan's been playing very well, and he's still splitting snaps. He's playing a position he's not used to playing at the right guard position. I do think they want him to eventually move to one of those tackles, but Rashid Walker and Zach Tom are making it hard for those to come available. I think you're right, Chewy. I do think, like, Jaden Reed is superstar level good right now.
Yes.
Tucker Kraft might be the best tight end in the league by the end of the season. But when you look, and part of this is kind of me skewing the facts of, like, I expect the Packers to pump out good offensive players. The defensive side always makes me more concerned. And to have Evan Williams, who everyone has been yelling about being so good since the training camp, and him immediately coming in and making the impact he is a difference maker to me. I think Edgerrin Cooper, like, I know Jason said he's making mistakes, but are the other guys not making mistakes out there? At least one of them's, like, producing, getting turnovers and sacks and all that. Like, to me, it's closer than I think I would have expected before actually looking at how those players are performing right now.
The weird thing is, Joshie, is how much better would these guys be if they had a pass rush?
Incredibly better.
That's what I'm saying.
And we're back.
You know? Yeah.
And here we are again.
Yeah, if Lucas Van Ness was just a good edge rusher, this defense looks like top five in the league.
Yes. Yeah. So, no, it's promising. I think, you know, Goody's doing a nice job. After a little struggle early on in his career, hopefully he's turning it around. But there are still a little ways to go here.
Chewy, how simple is it? Because it feels to me like it's very complicated. It feels like if they could have changed it, if they could have improved the pass rush, they would have. Considering, Joshy told us it was about a week ago that they were dead last in the league. They have made incremental progress in that space. What can they do? Can you
Nothing.
Teach a guy? Okay, that's, I knew that's what you're going to say. I was going to say, can you teach a guy to...
No.
Be better on the line.
No. I mean, Chin, I've said this, you know, for years now. It's just like guys hit their peak of development at different ages. That's why you see so many high school busts that go to college. They peak out when they're 18. Some guys peak out when they're 21. Some peak out when they're 26. Like, for myself, I was at my best probably at 26 years old. And then I topped out, and then, you know, the bell curve, then you start going down. Rashad Gary might have topped out. There's nothing you're going to learn. What year is this for him?
Five.
Five? You are what you are in year five. You know, Lucas Van Ness, still I'll give him a little more time to develop, but right now he's a try-hard guy with one move, and that doesn't work in the NFL. Now, the try-hard will keep you around, but – he's not right now. You're not going to pay him 20 something million as a pass rusher. I just think guys are what they are in their third year. Third year, you should know this league. You should know how it works. You should be smart enough to compete. So I will give Van Ness one more year. But when it comes to Rashawn Gary, this is it.
Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. When it's all said and done, will this year's draft be even better than last year's? Jeff Hafley, we believe, coming in, likely had some influence. Look, maybe he wasn't in the war room making the picks with Goody, but he had some influence on the type of player that they were going to draft to fit his scheme. That's just good business. That's just due diligence. You do that because you don't want to give the cook the ingredients that he can't make the cake with. So you ask Jeff Hafley, you say, hey, ideally, what type of player? Do you like this guy? How do you feel about Evan Williams out of Oregon? I like him. Let's grab him. All of that. So it feels like switching the defensive coordinator might be a big reason why you have players who actually fit with what they are trying to do on that side of the ball. 800-990-3776. Ryan weighing in on the YouTube page saying, Gary has no moves. How did we give him $24 million? That's a good question.
Potential. It was just based on potential, you know?
It's a good question.
Potential never panned out.
Well, and again, you always say sometimes guys, when they get paid, they throw it into neutral.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't feel like he's like that. I just think he's not as effective, and maybe his athleticism went down and the Packers made a big mistake.
Yeah, but Josh, what was the knock on him when he got drafted?
It was lack of production.
The number one high school recruit in the nation goes to Michigan and does nothing.
No, I'm not.
He was underwhelming.
Don't confuse me for defending Rashawn Gary's performances. I've long held that. Stop comparing him to the guys that are like Nick Bosa just gets like 15 sacks rolling out of bed. Mm-hmm. T.J. Watt's doing the same thing. Rashawn Gary's never had more than 10. That's not good enough. And the Packers made a big projection on a position that, frankly, you can't miss at if you're paying that much money. It's just not going to work.
Thing watching him, is it an effort thing or is
feels
it
like it doesn't
thing?
It? I mean, the two guys that you mentioned, and you could throw a bunch of other guys in the league out there as well. Their motor never stops.
Yeah,
they're aggressive. They're disruptors. Right? They pop off the screen. You know where they are at all times. I got to be real honest with you guys. I can't remember the last time I was watching a Packers game and I was like, whoa, whoa. Look at.
I do it the other way. Why is he letting that guy outside him?
Because let's pivot to another guy. I swung and missed on big time because we're getting close to it. Do you give Quay Walker the fifth year option right now?
No.
If you had to make that decision right now, do you give him the fifth year option?
I guess right now I would say no. Again, I have been probably more bullish on him, having watched him in college, seen what he could do there, and then thinking he would translate to the league. I have made the excuse that a lot of his lack of production was the defensive coordinator. But now 6 games in, and, you know, he's not always assignment sure and gap integrity and things like that, I'm a little more like, eh, maybe Gabe and Chewy were right.
I wouldn't be against them extending him and maybe giving him a little bit more guaranteed, but it's over 3 years. So that amount of money, like, hey, this is still better than what you would have got for the fifth-year option. Because I don't think he's like a net negative on the team, but he's not a guy you're prioritizing making sure we need this guy on our defense.
800-990. We got to take a break, Chew. We got to take a break.
Okay,
I know. You just keep rolling. You got all these ideas. Yeah, hold on to them. We'll come back to them. Justin weighing in the 262 saying, Jen's plum pit has better moves than Rashawn Gary.
Taking a lot of twists and turns down there.
That's a windy.
If we could just get some twists and turns from Gary, it might help us out. Football season is back, and I am excited to be back on campus with Celsius Energy Drink. It fuels my active lifestyle with its game day energy. And you know what? I'm not the only one. Travis Hunter, Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel, some of the guys that you're watching on Saturday, they also enjoy a Celsius. Explore all 27 refreshing flavors, sparkling or non-carbonated. There's a Celsius for every taste on game day. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius by your side. Celsius, live fit.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, can you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
color
could, like
egg?
An egg. I'm going to try that.
Easter has a new meaning in the Chimura household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Sportsbook is upping its game in a major move for all the sports bettors out there. Now you can use your Potawatomi rewards card at the self-service betting kiosks and the betting counter. Bet on your favorite sports and earn reward points along the way. Now that is a winning play. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook. All right, Chew, what was your question? What were you asking?
My question is, right now, would you rather have Quay Walker or A.J. Hawk?
I think A.J. Hawk. Didn't A.J. Hawk go down in history as like the most, tackles?
Yeah. But, I mean, people always say that. Well, he's leading the team. Linebackers are supposed to lead the team in tackles. That's how true. Defenses are set up. I think I'm with you, Jen. I think A.J. Hawk right now.
It's hard to do the retrospective on A.J. Hawk because he was a Packer for a long time, and he played very injured for much of his career and didn't really talk about it because he was always out there. But he was pretty consistent. You knew what you were getting from him. By the end of his career, you could say whatever you want at it. But through this point in both their careers, I think it's not really close. It's A.J. Hawk.
Yeah. I think Quay Walker's still a pretty good player, but I'm walking back the MVP talk, defensive MVP talk I had about him last year. He's not even close.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not even close.
Is there anyone on the Packers defense? I mean, could Xavier McKinney be a guy that gets?
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously with all the turnovers he's put together.
I think he's probably leading the league right now if they were vote today.
But like T.J. Watt?
How many sacks is he? He's got a lot of sacks. I don't know.
I don't know.
Turnovers over sacks all day long.
Yeah. But again, those sacks lead to flipping the field.
Yeah, sure.
Putting them in unfavorable down and distances and whatnot.
He's definitely top three, right?
Xavier McKinney, top three? Joshy, top three defensive players in the league right now?
Oh, yeah, without question. He's not going to be in terms of Vegas betting odds, but just because those awards go to the sack getters, especially the guys getting the top end there.
Exactly.
It's hard for a defensive back unless you're scoring touchdowns. It is well within Xavier McKinney's ability to score a couple touchdowns here, but he's going to have to kind of lead the league in interceptions and probably score a little bit as well for that to be really a race for him to win. But finalists at this point, I'd say almost certainly.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got a loaded second hour of the show this morning. Stick around.
Here we go.